So you'll be okay. Okay. So you don't care if we lay hands on you, Chris?
Yeah.
Well, anybody who wants to, let's lay hands on her and just agree and...
Oh, yeah, you're a hand layer on her.
We got you. God hands.
Amen. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for all your promises and your scriptures. We thank you, Lord, that it is your will that we be healed, to be well and whole. Just thank you, Lord, that you have sent your word already and you've already healed Alma. We claim that scripture. We thank you that this bone mends exactly like it should, that it'll be perfect. She won't have any bad effects after this. We just thank you for that, Lord. And we just thank you and stand you on your word, Lord, that we just count it already done. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 She's strong. You got it?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. For those of you who don't know, I'm not a preacher, so you know what to expect. Nor do I want to be.
You are.
So, Skeet's going to be back Friday, right? Good. I'll be glad.
I will too.
I'm sure you.
I'm having to be.
Oh, you're the hand.
I know. Okay. Right now.
Okay. This will be short and sweet, I promise. Okay, you don't have to turn there, but it's Psalms 136. If you want to turn there, if you look at that scripture, there's one word that keeps coming up over and over and over again in this whole chapter. Okay. You all know what it is? It's repeated over and over and over.
Yes,
pardon? Okay, what else?
Yes,
what else? There's another word. Y'all still haven't got it.
No, we still haven't got it.
Okay, Mike, what is it?
Steadfast.
Golly. Okay, I tell you what. Nearly all these verses in here have the word mercy in it. Have you noticed that? Psalms is full of mercy. As a matter of fact, I looked up to see if you could even count the number of times that mercy is mentioned in the scripture. I think it's like something over 300 times.
Wow.
I mean, it's mentioned a lot. But I think over the years, I don't remember hearing much taught about mercy. Mostly it's been grace and a lot of other things, but as much as mercy is mentioned in the scripture, I don't think it's taught enough. I haven't heard much on it. I'm sure it's taught, but I sure haven't heard it. Y'all know there's a difference between mercy and grace. They're not the same. They're close, but they're not the same. Okay, definitions. Looked up. Grace is giving sinners what they don't deserve. Mercy is not giving sinners what they do deserve. So there is a big difference. If you look up the definition for mercy, other than this, is to show kindness and concern for someone in serious need, or it's feel compassion for or have pity on somebody. It's not just an emotion, but a desire to remove the cause of distress in others. Once again, mercy is not giving sinners, well, anybody, not just sinners, is not giving anybody what they deserve.
No license.
Pardon?
No license.
Right. We can't give grace, but we are expected to have mercy. Matthew 5:7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." It comes under the law of sowing and reaping. If you don't give mercy to people, you don't receive it. Not the way you should, not the way the Lord intends. Luke 6:36 says, "Therefore, be merciful just as your Father is merciful." Is that a suggestion? No, it's actually a command. It says, "Be merciful." I don't think we think about that. We are commanded to give mercy. We like to receive it, but we don't often like to give it. Okay, Micah 6:8. This kind of got me off on this. I heard this scripture, somebody teach on this not too long ago. They didn't teach on mercy, but it had this mercy in the scripture. In Micah 6:8 says, "What does God require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?" It says, "What does God require of you?" Do you ever think of God requiring that we give mercy? I don't consciously think about that, but we should. Okay, Luke 6:36 says, "Be merciful just as your Father is merciful."
That's a call.
Yeah, really. Okay, Hebrews 4:16, and this scripture is quoted a lot, and mercy's in here, I don't think about it. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Okay, we come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain, know about grace and being in time of need, but that we may obtain mercy from the throne of grace. James 2:13 says, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy." Mercy triumphs over judgment. If I could sum up the importance of mercy, that would be the part of that scripture right there. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I think as Christians, well, as people in general, we would like to judge people rather than give mercy. There's several stories in the scripture that shows about giving mercy or not being willing to give mercy. The whole book of Jonah is about Jonah's rebellion against what the Lord told him to do, to go to Nineveh and tell them judgment was coming if they didn't repent. And y'all know the story. Jonah had no intentions of going, so the Lord took care of that and delayed him by having a fish swallow him until he was ready to obey the Lord. So when the fish coughed him up on the shore, he went to Nineveh like he was supposed to do, rather reluctantly, and he preached that if they didn't repent, that judgment was coming in 40 days. And to Jonah's surprise, they did. They repented. But God was going to judge Nineveh. But they repented. Jonah didn't like that. I mean, I'm kind of paraphrasing. Jonah wanted judgment on Nineveh. You could tell that through the whole book, and even after he preached. But God wanted to show mercy. Okay, we talk about not deserving. Did the people of Nineveh deserve mercy? If you read about the Ninevites and stuff, they were pretty ferocious people. The Assyrians were, they were cruel in warfare. And later on, they took over the northern kingdom, but they did have a number of years where God had shown his mercy on them, even though they didn't deserve it. Jonah didn't like that, and he pouted about it. He went out and waited for God's judgment, and it didn't come. And it kind of ticked him off. I think that's how we are. We want to see people, to, I guess the word to say is, we want people to get what's coming to them, right? as long as it's not us. You know, we want mercy, but we don't want to give mercy, do we? I don't think it's a natural thing that you want to do. You'd rather people get what's coming to them. Okay, well, everybody knows about the prodigal son. He got his inheritance and he left and he squandered it all. And when things got bad, he thought, well, I'll just go home. My father's servants, they have more than enough to eat, and here I'm starving. And it says that he decided he was going to go home, and his father was actually looking for him. He was out in the field. He saw him coming from a distance, and he ran to him. And of course, the prodigal son had all this story. He was going to tell his dad how sorry he was and all this kind of stuff, and he didn't deserve anything, and he would just work as one of his servants. He didn't even get a chance to go through his spiel. His dad put the robe on him, a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet, sandals or whatever. Can't imagine walking barefooted over there, but evidently he was barefooted. He was very repentant, but his dad didn't even listen to him. He welcomed him back. He was going to have the fatted calf killed, and they were going to have a party, and they did. But what happened when the older son came back? Yeah, he was not too happy with the way things were going. As a matter of fact, he actually chewed his dad out for letting him come back and welcoming him back as a son after all that he had done. His son wanted judgment, correct? He didn't have mercy even on his own brother. Like he said, he's like the rest of it. He wanted him to get what was coming to him. But the father wanted to give what he didn't deserve. I think, you know, that's a picture of how the Lord is with us. But like it says in James, mercy triumphs over judgment. I think God would rather show his mercy than his judgment, even though it's not deserved. Whereas I think our tendency, even as Christians, is like we said, they need to get what's coming to them. They need to be punished. I mean, if you get right down to it, we don't like to see people get mercy. We want it, but we'd rather not anybody else get it normally. Okay, what about the woman caught in adultery? She broke the law, didn't she? The Pharisees brought her to Jesus. What did the law demand for adultery? Stoning, right? That's what the Pharisees wanted. They wanted to see God's judgment on this woman. And what did Jesus offer? It was mercy, right? And they didn't like that. They left one at a time, from the oldest to the youngest. And they were the religious leaders, supposedly they should have been the ones that wanted to show mercy, but the Pharisees and the rulers back then, they were judgmental. They were always looking for some way to punish somebody for breaking the law, even though they did it themselves. But God's always looking for a way to show his mercy. And like I said, we want to receive it, but we're reluctant to give it to anybody. Exactly, yeah. As Jesus said, don't the one that's that sin cast the first stone. That's right. We want judgment for somebody else, even though we're far from being perfect. All of us, if we really got what we was coming to us, if it wasn't for grace and mercy, I mean, yeah, it would have been a tough road to hoe. Okay. This is the part that I was kind of, I don't know if I feel guilty or what, but what do y'all think about Christians and gossiping? What are we doing when we gossip about other people? Aren't we judging them? When we gossip about other people, we usually talk about something that they're doing, saying, or whatever, that they should not be doing, right? Isn't that normally what it boils down to? We would rather say things negative about other people than to show them grace or mercy, right? I think if Christians, especially, if we were to show mercy to other people, gossip and backbiting would stop. If we did just that one thing, if we were willing to show mercy. And it does not mean that we condone what they're doing or excuse it, but we do have mercy on that person. Jesus did not condone the woman caught in adultery. He told her, go and sin no more, right? But he still showed mercy. I mean, why cannot we do the same thing?
We need to.
I don't think there's any.
I
think we could all raise both hands, because I think I don't think any of us are totally innocent of that. We'd rather show judgment. We'd rather point out wrong than to give mercy. And like I said, that's not condoning what they're doing if it is wrong. But you're having mercy on that person, just like the Lord does. That doesn't mean that what we're doing is okay and if it's excused. We probably need to repent. And somebody else may need to repent too, but when we start to talk about somebody else...
We've got to start first.
Yeah, exactly. And the sad thing is, we don't do it just for acquaintances or people. We do it even in families. We're quick to criticize other members of the family for what they're doing, what they shouldn't be doing, stuff like that. And, you know, like I said, they may be wrong in what they're doing or saying or how they're living, but that's still not a good excuse for us not to show mercy to them instead of judgment. For our own sake, if you want to be selfish about it, just like the scripture says, if you want mercy, you're going to reap what you sow. I mean, if you're even looking at it from a selfish point of view, it's to our advantage to be merciful to other people and not be condemning or... we just want to see judgment. I mean, we're right, they're wrong. We're always right, right? The other guys... Yeah. We're always right. The other guy's always wrong, right? So, if we want to obtain mercy, we need to give mercy. And I think, personally, I think it gives you more of a, how do you say it? I think it brings more peace to you than to keep talking about it. When you're talking about somebody else, whether it's true or not, if it's negative, you have a bad reaction in your own self to it. I mean, for our own good, we should do the right thing. Just out of selfishness, do the right thing, have mercy on other people, and you'll receive mercy. So, anyway.
We all need that.
Amen. I think I did read this, James 2:13, to kind of sum it up. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. They're actually going to receive judgment, according to the scripture. Mercy, excuse me, the last part of this says, mercy triumphs over judgment. I think that's a scripture we should all take to heart.
That's James
2:13. Okay. Do y'all have a comment or anything? Like I said, I'm not a preacher. I'd rather listen to somebody. Yes, sir.
When you first started out, you referenced a book in Psalms and asked to go look for something that kept recurring. And I thought you said Psalm 136, which is where I went and looked. And I don't remember if you asked me or if I offered what that thing was wanting some input if anybody knew what that recurring thing was. And I said steadfast, but it wasn't that. It was mercy, actually. But ever since then, I've been going through, looking through 136 again. And steadfast is used with the word love. Steadfast love. And I went through that book. It's not very long. And it occurs 26 times.
Wow.
Mercy appears
that things come from.
Right.
It's a lot of translation, and one says, well, you find that the message is...
Yeah, let's see. ESV, what is ESV?
Not New American Standard.
Yeah, look up King James, see what it says. Mercy. So I guess I was looking in the right place.
But it occurred 26 times. I just underlined them all.
I wasn't looking in the right place.
No.
Translation, reading, comes with scripture, steadfast love.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well, I think that's the way it is the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steadfast love.
There's a whole lot in that chapter, yeah, if you really look at it. It is. Okay. Anybody else have anything to add or detract or whatever?
That's enough to sleep on.
Like I was saying, you are.
Yeah, right. Anyway, I think we all ought to take the, here I'm gonna say y'all should. I should take this to heart too. It's so easy to judge other, I mean, I think about, you know, when you're, this is a small thing, but, you know, I think when you just encounter people, you know, hear about people who like to sit and watch people, people watchers or whatever, I think so many times what they're doing is looking for something wrong with people. You know, and I think when we meet somebody, or when we, even our friends, whenever we're around somebody, we've already made a judgment about them already, about what kind of person they are, what they've done or haven't done. I mean, we could judge it a good way too. But I think too often, when we encounter other people, we form a judgment right then and there without actually knowing that much about them. And instead of judging people, we ought to be merciful and remember that that's somebody that Jesus has died for, no matter what they've done. And we need to show mercy. No, right. Exactly. Yeah, I think it's kind of funny. I don't think it happens here too much. But when, you know, in church, when we come to church and we all know each other and everything, and all of a sudden somebody walks in the back door, or one or two or whatever, and we've never seen them before, we don't know them or something, you look at them and you make a judgment. You do. You make a judgment. If you stop to think about it. And we shouldn't do, well, yeah, we, unfortunately, sometimes we think, well, they're not like us.
They're okay, they're not okay.
Yeah, I mean, I've done that myself. I said, those people, they really, they're strange looking, or they're not dressed right, or, it's just normal, I think, to make a judgment about each other and other people. And we really shouldn't do it. It harms us more than it actually harms them. I think that's one of the reasons, one of the things that talks about being a respecter of persons, I think that has a lot to do too with judging people.
And I truly believe everybody is welcome to walk through that door.
Yeah, yes.
If they come in here, they need help, they need God.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Both barrels.
Really, yeah, you're right. I mean, we can all improve on, I can, man, I know I can improve a lot on that. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm guilty of that. I'm reluctant to work. Yeah. Yeah, I know, yes, right.
No, we need to just love on them.
That's right, yeah. Okay.
Good stuff, Ron.
That's all I got, unless y'all have something else. You don't have a comment? Okay, let's close with prayer. And like I said, Trevor, we need help next door when we get through. We don't want you to run off. I'm not too merciful to him. Lord, we just thank you that you are always merciful to us, Lord, that we would learn to be more merciful to each other, Lord, that we would receive your mercy, Father, that we would give it freely. Just thank you, Lord, for each one who's here tonight. We thank you that Skeet has a safe trip home, Lord, and we just thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and goodness to us, Lord, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you all.